You know, I really didn't think he had it in him. But Dev Patel, dude. What is up, everybody, and welcome to a very wonderful episode 8 of 20,000 Films Under the Sea. I am one of your directors tonight, Arnell Pearson, alongside a couple of my wonderful producers. We have, firstly, Twitch.tv's DJ Simfin. DJ! My boy, how's it going, dude?
What's up? Dude, I'm beat, dude. I've not had a good night's sleep this entire week.
Damn. Holy shit.
Dude,
okay.
Yeah, dude. Oh no, I was trying to get sleep, and then I woke up. I had my alarm set up so I would wake up and go see the movie today. And I didn't eat anything. Like I didn't even get a drink. I didn't get popcorn. I sat through that whole movie, and I went home with a headache, and I'm like, I need food in my mouth right now.
Jesus.
And
man.
Then dude, I scarfed down a fucking burger like you've never seen, dude. It was at record pace.
Yeah.
And then I just laid down. Almost, that's how I was late here, dude. I was just laying down, and I was like, oh, and then I'm like, oh shit, I got
what kind of burger did you get? You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about the important stuff.
I ordered Five Guys, dude. I haven't had Five Guys in so long. I thought I might treat myself.
Not bad. Good choice, yeah, actually.
Uber Eats had like
I don't mind Five Guys. They're pretty good.
Uber Eats gave me a promo for like, I don't know, I think $20 off any order of like like $35.
Okay, very nice. Yeah, Five Guys.
I was going to just order a burger, but I ordered a burger, and then I got their grilled cheese, but then I had them to add a patty, so it kind of turns into a patty belt.
Hell yeah, let's go.
And then
let's go.
I also got one of their hot dogs and a small fry.
Yes, yeah, because
I know it will overload the bag with fries, so it's getting
dude,
a small
if you get
fries.
A, yeah, man, small fries enough.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually don't like their Cajun fries, though. I think they're Cajun fries are actually
they're a little on the saltier side. For sure.
I don't understand like the audacity of how they do their fries. Like, come on, guys. Like, also, like, if anybody who hasn't had Five Guys, like, they put their fries just in a drink cup, but they put the drink cup in a brown bag first, and then they make zero attempt to actually get it into the cup, dude. I swear to God, the cup goes in there for structural purposes.
Dude, you see all those potatoes they have in a fucking Five Guys fucking restaurant?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, I feel like they have to do, like, it's not like
they're literally jamming fries in the bag. We have to get rid of these. Yeah.
Yeah, if we don't get rid of these, we are at a net loss.
they're like giving everybody too many fries is how this company stays in the black.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just I think that's part of the training. Like if you start working at Five Guys, you have to throw like the entire fryer bin in. Like you order a small, you order a large.
Fucking
that's two fryer bins.
The whole basket, dude.
Done.
Half of the fries hit the fucking ground, dude. And then they if you get oil, like, you get like the oil shit that they put it on sometimes too, dude. Like extra greasy, and you're like the shit's dripping through the bag, bro. Mm-hmm.
I do like that. I do like that shit. But I also like that we have our fire and brimstone. It is Garrick Bartholomew Ian. Sir, how are you?
Hey.
I actually haven't had dinner yet, but I already have plans to go to Cane's after this. So
let's go.
Dude,
Maniac combo is coming. I feel it.
Dude,
yes,
it really
sir.
Is.
Yes, sir.
I never feel bad. Like, honestly, listen, if you're one of the people out there who's just like stuff like In-N-Out Burger and like Raisin Cane's, they're like, if you're the people or there's like Five Guys, they're like, oh man, all that's just overrated. You just don't enjoy having fun with your food. Like, literally, everyone's just like, all Raisin Cane's is chicken strips. And I was just like, yeah, but they perfected it. So that's what makes it good.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's the sauce. Exactly, and there's the Texas toast.
Dude, and the Texas toast is always
the crinkle cut fries.
Like, Dude, honestly, and their like their fries are always like I've actually never had a bad batch of fries from there.
It's consistent. It's super consistent.
Like it is like they, I've never gone to Cane's and been like and taken that first bite of like chicken or fries and been like this didn't hit today. Like it's always slapped.
The only time it doesn't hit is if you like leave it for like leftovers and it's like so if you keep it in the box like it soaks up all that moisture and it gets soggy.
Yeah, that's the condensation. That's the only time. But you can save a whole Cane's for leftovers if you have an air fryer and it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, air fryer. Everyone should have an air fryer.
I have one. It's fucking godsend, dude. It's just so sick, man.
You know, I guess I'm good just thinking about my upcoming dinner because I'm that motherfucker, dude. I just like I'm thinking about enjoying my upcoming meal. And I was telling Ernell a little bit off stream, and y'all are going to hear me talk about it more on Tuesday. But I've been playing some Skull and Bones, and I decided to pick up the game for my brother as well. So Ubisoft got double the money for me. Mm. And, yeah, they did. But it was on sale, so I don't feel too bad. And we've been playing pretty consistently over the last couple of days, dude. And yo-ho, a pirate's life for me.
Goddamn,
although I do fucking audibly laugh and giggle to myself every time I get disconnected and I go, fucking quadruple A game my ass.
Quadruple A. Woo! We're like, in this stage for the triple A games. Let's pay $80.
Woo. Yeah, right. But yeah, no, it's been fun stuff, dude. I enjoy being a pirate, man.
You know, and you are like slowly but surely like selling me on pulling the trigger on it too. Like it's like every time that I'm like, okay, I think I've forgotten about it, and I'm not like that way all in. Every time I come around you now,
you mention something about it, and I'm right like, now, man, and I have yet to run out of things to do, and I have so much more map to explore. Which in a game like this, like just the opportunity to be able to go explore at that depth is really, really enticing.
God damn it, Gary.
I'm gonna get you.
I know, man. You just might get me, but for now, everyone at home is gonna get me first because this is 20,000 Films Under the Sea, your choice for all the nerdy pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you want each and every week. If you like that, you can head on over to our Discord channel where you can submit questions and talk to the show, get exclusive content, and have early access to episodes before they go live on podcasts and video services near you. But if you've emptied your pockets for the latest and greatest in entertainment, that's cool with us. You can watch us record this show live right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow, just like Shane is classy is, and just like Esco Boo Boo is. Hi, Esco, we love you. Shane says, I got Ubisoft Plus to check it out at launch. You know, I was thinking about if I don't just buy it outright, because it's on sale, then maybe I'll try out Ubisoft Plus, but we'll see. We'll see. If you have Amazon Prime, you also have Twitch Prime. DJ.
Prime Gaming.
And we would love for you to give that to us to help keep the lights on and cameras rolling, but you can also support us by going to our YouTube channel, hitting subscribe, or by leaving a review on our podcast channel by searching 20,000 Films Under the Sea, and we'll be right there waiting for you.
Waiting for you.
Guys, we have some director's commentary. Reminder that episodes of The Shipwreck Show, Death Ratio, and 20,000 Films, that's right, all of our podcasts, will be now releasing at 6 a.m. Pacific time for the public. Our Twitch subscribers, if you're on our Discord, you get access to that the night of the recording so you guys can get a jump start on your day. If you're on the East Coast, you pull the most weight in that benefit because you'll be able to listen to that bad boy whenever the hell you want to, right? First thing in the morning on your way to work, on your way to the gym, on your way to terrible, awful things that you might do in the morning. I don't know. I don't judge people. I don't judge people, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, you can take that out there. You can download the audio for it. Take a little listen, if you will, and have a good time with us each morning, each and every morning. You know what I'm saying? Guys, the merch store is on its way. We're having just a little bit of a hold up right now, but it will be coming your way sometime soon. I'm just trying to get things sorted out with stuff connected to us, if you will. And then we will get that rolled out for you guys. So be patient. We're almost there. We're right there with you guys. In the meantime, though, please go to our podcast. Okay. Go to our podcast and review and rate them like crazy. Okay. Pretty please.
Yes, please. Pretty please. Please tell your friends, please. Tell your family, tell your cat, your dog.
And if you rate and review them and take a screenshot of that rate and review, we might give you some free goodies when the merch store comes around. So,
yeah, like 500,000 pesos.
Fortnite credits. Yeah, exactly.
You get your V-Bucks.
Get those V-Bucks. Yeah,
actually, we're rolling out a new coin, a GK coin that can only be used. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our podcast and our storefronts.
I would hate that so much.
I would hate that so much. Yeah, what's the currency exchange rate for dollars?
Sand dollars.
Dollars to sand dollars. You know what I'm saying? Like,
dollars to sand dollar. Actually, it's
GK now has microtransactions.
Yeah. I mean,
to pay for DJ's camera to be on during next episode. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyways, in the meantime, Surreal. Hi, Surreal. Love you. I hope you've been good.
Surreal. Hi.
Lovely main segment here. Garrick, my friend. Oh, Surreal High. Like, the higher the socks, the downer the fool. You know what I'm saying? Let's go. Garrick, tell the people what we're doing next, my friend.
Oh, yeah. You know, when we're talking, I don't know why I adopted a Canadian accent for 2.5 seconds.
Oh, yeah, friend.
I don't know why that happened.
We've got a headlining segment, eh?
It just came out of me that way.
Hey, don't be sorry about
that
it.
That was real weird, dude. In a past
don't life, be sorry about it, Garrick.
Settle down.
But they make all sorts of movies all the time, and every single time they go through many iterations of those movies, but we only get to see one version of it unless you're Zack fucking Snyder, because everybody else just gives us the final cut.
Oh, the final cut. Oh, Zack Snyder. I did that. I did the text. There you go. Final cut. There you go.
Fuck you, Zack Snyder. Fuck you.
Fuck you, Zack Snyder. Fuck you.
You are enemy number one on this podcast.
Not you, Zack Snyder. Fuck off, dude.
Stop watching us.
I'll go hate watch Man of Steel because it's the one movie by you I like.
Yeah.
I'm hate watching Rebel Moon Part 2.
Oh, dude, I'm going to eat that shit up, dude. I'm going to be like, this movie's
when
fucking
is that coming
terrible.
It's coming out soon, right?
It's like 2 or 3 weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Let's go, baby. Guys,
tears are forming in my eyes as we speak.
Tonight we are talking our spoiler-free review of the brand new Monkey Man. A young man ekes out a meager living in an underground fight club where night after night, wearing a gorilla mask, he's beaten bloody by more popular fighters for cash. After years of suppressed rage, he discovers a way to infiltrate the enclave of the city's sinister elite. As his childhood trauma boils over, his mysteriously scarred hands unleash an explosive campaign of retribution to settle the score with the men who took everything from him. That is the fucking gassiest fucking synopsis I've fucking read on this show as of yet.
Yeah.
That shit went crazy, dude.
And all of it is so true.
All of it, yeah, 100%. Released March 11th, 2024, directed by Dev Patel and produced by Dev Patel and written by Dev Patel in his directorial debut, his first movie he's ever directed. Music by one Jed Kurzel, who's known for his work in The Babadook, Alien Covenant, Assassin's Creed, and some more projects. This movie had a budget of $10 million, shockingly. Oh my God. And a box office so far of opening night of $1.4 million, and a runtime of 2 hours and 1 minute. Some fun facts for you guys. The film was originally meant to be released straight to streaming on Netflix until Jordan Peele saw the film and, feeling that it deserved a theatrical release instead, acquired it from Netflix under his Monkey Paw Productions banner, which has a distribution deal with Universal Pictures. How dope does your project have to be for Jordan Peele to see it and say, nah, dude, I need that.
about to say, imagine being like, okay, Dev, this was, hold on. And then he pauses their conversation, calls Netflix and be like, what did you pay for this movie?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you 1.5 that, and this conversation is over. It's mine now. And literally
fucking for real, man.
because Netflix, from a business standpoint, was probably just like, you heard the man. Like, he owns the movie now. And
hey, free money in our pocket, dude. Like, whatever.
Right? Right? They're like, yeah. I'm really glad that this got a theatrical release.
I am too, which we will be getting into in a minute. Due to budget cuts, multiple shots of this movie were filmed with GoPros and iPhones. Surprisingly, not as daunting as I thought it would be. Because unless you're like looking for it, you can't really
You definitely tell with some of the motion shots.
Yeah.
You can tell where they might have choose to use it, but I didn't know that piece of information watching it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not have guessed that they used iPhones or GoPros.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think there was maybe one scene that I saw and I was like, oh yeah, that was definitely an iPhone shot. And it was like the roof running sequence. And I was like, that one quick shot was like grittier than the rest of them. And that was it. Like, that was it. The only one that I could like really, really spot. Anyways, good stuff. Dev Patel suffered a number of injuries during the filming of the movie, which included a broken hand, 2 broken toes, a torn shoulder, and an eye infection. To be closely followed with, from filming during the COVID-19 pandemic, losing filming locations, crew members, almost losing funding prior to the shoot, and injuring himself quite badly. I also want to add, too, found out they also broke a camera. Patel struggled to get the film to release. It is crazy the amount of shit they went through for this movie, dude. Dev Patel, even more specifically, is going to get even more wild to dig into that as we get into, boys, our thoughts here. Derek, I'm going to sling it to you, my man. What were your feelings and thoughts on Monkey Man?
This is a straight up, revenge, like vengeance story, pure and simple. This is not going to be a film where you are walking in with heavy dialogue and heavy plot. It is going to deliver to you the pieces of information that you, the audience, need to know to understand what is happening. And then it is going to be like, we need you to buckle your seatbelt now, because there's not going to be any breaks for the next 2 hours. And then it just puts its fucking foot on the gas and just covers you in blood and dirt for 2 hours. For 2 fucking hours.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's not perfect. You can definitely tell there are some moments where I was like, yep, this is his first directorial debut. I have some personal feelings about starring in and directing your first movie. Sure. I just being of the divided focus that creates. But I feel like he actually balanced this really, really, really well. And obviously he carries this film wholeheartedly. He is the star of this film. He is the center of this film. And he took a good page from Keanu Reeves' physical acting and put his own spin on a really interesting character. And the whole thing was just honestly so fucking interesting to me. Because like I said, the plot's not, it's a shallow plot, but that's not a bad thing here. Because this movie isn't plot focused. This is an action thriller, and it uses its plot to provide the basis of what it's going to do. But the thrill actually comes from really, really great physical acting and camera work. I've never been so motherfucking nervous watching somebody rob pawn. I was just like, dude, you literally watching somebody rap pawn. I'm like starting to have an anxiety attack as like this fucking camera's jittering and Dev's looking around, bro. And you're like, what the fuck? I'm waiting for him to get jumped at any second in this film. Literally any moment I am waiting for him to just straight up get gassed. And I wasn't sure where this film was going to go because I don't know about you guys, but I definitely didn't like I didn't kind of look at the synopsis. I just kind of based off of like the first like the few theatrical trailers we got.
Yes.
And that definitely kind of portrayed it to me that like he was going to start out of the gate as like a bad ass.
Right.
And there's a bit of an origin story that actually takes place here. And it's used really coolly in my opinion, because it kind of gives like an air of mysticism to this very human character that he's portraying. And I loved it, like specifically the act two where, his character, Kid, Dev's character is just called Kid in this film, goes through like his training montage, essentially. Mm-hmm. That was one of the coolest fucking training montages.
So
fucking ever.
Yeah, dude, it was so rad, man.
Bro, I was literally just like, bro, is he learning capoeira on the goddamn fly right now? What the fuck is happening? And like, dude, with just the drums and like the way that like he matched the tempo, it was so cool. It was just so fresh and interesting. I just loved the way he wove in a lot of socio-political commentary from India very naturally into his film without ever like it being something that was like, it didn't feel like it was beat over your head. It felt like it just existed there and because it belonged there, because it does. And it was great. Like specifically, the Hijra, which is the transgender, community in India, or they're like, well, specifically they're a group of transgender and, just non-gender conforming, individuals. That's like the umbrella term they use in India, or they refer to it just sometimes as India's third gender.
Yes.
Which is like a marginalized group. And they actually have like this really badass hit squad in this movie. That's fucking sweet.
Dude, and when I start playing the music, Oh my God.
It was so fucking cool.
And just like that, just the use of that and like how the story was kind of woven around India's history and past of like Holy Land and land disputes, but kind of like with like a modern twist of like, you know, cultural impact of like social political religious leaders and all of that, and like how the sway that it was actually really brilliantly written, because it's all very subtle.
Yeah.
And it's all very subtle, and it all takes place in like just a very, very believable like cinematic world. And every single fight scene was awesome. I love the action sequences. I am not shocked that he broke his fucking hand in this movie.
Yeah.
Dude, the amount of shit he was doing, I was
surprised. Some of the shit he was doing and like some of the kicks he was pulling, I'm not surprised on the broken toes or torn shoulder either, because you could tell he was putting his whole body into a lot of it. There are some things that like I do want to critique. Like there were some camera, like there were some camera shots and things that were just like, okay, that was a little weird. And the film uses a lot of B-roll. It does use quite a head of heavy B-roll. The B-roll's not used to ill effect, but it also doesn't add anything either necessarily in some portions. There's a couple of times in like the later second act leading into the third act where I was just like, I didn't need to see this crowd partying for like a whole 45 seconds.
We could have
moved past that just a little bit quicker, right? Like pacing things. But like, again, like this was his first directorial debut. He was really trying to make sure he was capturing his vision for the film. And I really feel like he was successful in that and what he wanted this to be. And like who this film was for. And I loved this movie. I really hope that we get like another action franchise burst from this, because I kind of want to see more Monkey Man. And the only thing I'm really hopeful for that we do get, if we do get sequels from this, that it will improve the overall pacing of the films, because the first half is much slower than the second half. The film is not slow at all.
But comparatively, right.
But compared to how fast and how quick like the second half is, it really makes the first half kind of feel like a little bit draggy. Just because it spends so much time building up Kid as a character and providing for you like world building and context clues to get you to a, that meaningful final sequence, that it can kind of feel like it slogs a little bit in the first act of the film.
Sure.
But aside from that, I genuinely enjoyed this from start to finish.
DJ.
Yeah, I this movie is a fucking banger. This is a banger, dude. And I'm sad I didn't get to see it on the bigger screen at the theater.
I did not either. They did not have this available in a huge.
This theatrical release regulated this film to be in some of the smaller theaters.
Yeah.
Smaller showings inside. And only there was one for the big screen. Bigger screen, but it was at 7, and I would not have made this review. Got it to this review. So, but it, I feel like it should be on the bigger screens, because this feels like when you mentioned the $10 million budget, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, dude. Oh my god.
What I mean? Like, I don't know how much the budget was for the first John Wick film. But this is on par with the first John Wick film.
Quality-wise,
it is on par with the first John Wick film. And it borrows a lot from it.
20 John to 30 Wick million.
Yep, 20 to 30. Yep.
Jesus.
Yep. So still double the budget at the bare minimum.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Bare minimum double the budget of this film, and it is on par with the first John Wick. It is slower. Actually, I was thinking about this. It has the same pace as John Wick 1.
It does.
In a certain way. Like take away one less action scene from John Wick, the first one, and you have, like, it is literally the same pacing.
Mm-hmm.
With Monkey Man. But what Dev Patel does with Monkey Man, it's so, I don't know how to describe this. It's like the visual, like the storytelling of this really shines out.
Yeah.
You know, like with John Wick, it's kind of like implied, like, oh, he's always been a badass. And like,
mm-hmm.
you know, people will let you know, oh shit, it's John Wick. But with Monkey Man, we're starting from the beginning. You know, we're starting from this guy's becoming a badass.
Yeah,
okay?
Dude.
Like, the foundation's there. We're seeing it slowly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it's such a satisfying buildup. Like, just everything about it. Like, Garrick, you mentioned all the, like, the socio-political messages that are in this film regarding the state of India and, like, it's woven in so seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a part of it, even using like real footage within the film. And you're like, whoa, what the fuck? It's action. This is action packed. I mean, like Dev goes crazy in this. Dev Patel goes nuts. Especially in the second act, when the rolling ball is now like fucking spinning at, you know, crazy pace.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, everything about this, like the sound design, like the audio in this, it's so good. The music, so good. And the choices for music are also great, especially
all the remixes were so goddamn good.
Yeah, also some of the hip hop tracks that were played. Mm. At least two of them I could recognize.
The fucking the two metal tracks they had, dude. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yes, the choice of music is great. The choice of music is so good. It's, mm-hmm. and just the music even in general. Garrick mentioned there's like a training arc, like a training montage for Kid. For Dev's character, and it involves drums. I think he's practicing like Muay Thai, like or a form of Muay Thai with the drums. And then later, the drums come back when he's like fighting with this newfound style.
Yeah, man.
And it
so good.
Rocks. It kills. It kills, bro. It kills. And man, this is such a very—it's a very satisfying revenge story. I think mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. they really establish how much you should hate these characters, because they're technically two antagonists within this film. One that Dev's character Kid is like very—he knows very well.
Rana and Baba.
So Rana, Dev knows very well, and that's kind of the main antagonist for this film, mostly focus on him. And then there's Baba, who is a secondary antagonist, but kind of is the mastermind of all of it. Kind mm-hmm. of like the, you know, the kind of the backbone of like why. Like Rana is the who, Baba is the why, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
Like, and both are handled really well, because Rana is like the storytelling with Rana is very upfront. You know why he's an asshole. Like they will show you exactly why this guy's a fucking dickhead.
Yeah.
Right. But then Baba behind him, it's very subtle, and it's like, oh,
you're that piece of shit. Yeah.
You're that guy. So you're mm-hmm. equally allowed to get these hands too.
Absolutely.
So you know, like you know, you're responsible as well. So and it's just handled so well, and it's so satisfying seeing Dev's character just go through this. The environment. This made me want to watch more films set in India or like Indian films, because it's so. It's chaotic, but it's also like, I don't know how to describe it. It feels lived in mm-hmm. and like populous, you know? Garrett.
You want to know what like energy this movie reminds me of? It's like another really good energy action that everyone's kind of like, everyone's kind of hasn't mentioned it recently, but we all gassed it up when it released The Raid.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Uh-huh. I was thinking about it. It's very
similar, dude. It's so octane injected. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, especially like even like Kid's anxiety and like his outbursts and his triggers and his stress, uh-huh. like all feels like legit.
Yeah, yeah, and the camera work, like the camera work, camera placement. And the way the scenes look when that is happening to convey, because right Dev's character doesn't speak that much.
He does not.
He's kind of very stoic, but it's not because like it's in the same vein. I hate that I keep referencing John Wick, but it's like you know, it's like you know direct comparison. It's like he has emotions and it's repressed. It's very repressed, and so that's why he acts the way he does. But the way they convey like his panic, his like anxiety, like it made me think of Uncut Gems. Adam Sandler. Like it feels claustrophobic, you know, like the way the camera is set up and like the fucking zoomed in shots. It conveys so much emotion for Dev's character, and that's throughout the film. That isn't just like one section. That's throughout the film. You mm-hmm. you can see it and you can feel his emotion in that moment, and the music and everything backs that up. Like as a whole package, this movie is incredible. Like, you can't take away anything or else, like, the movie falls apart. You know, like, yeah, everything in this film, like, comes together in, like, this great homogenous ball that is just so enjoyable. Yeah, dude, this thing is a banger. I think this is one of my favorite, like, Wickian-esque action movies. You know, I think this is one of my favorites.
All right, man. Yeah, I'm just gonna start and say it. This is my favorite movie of the year so far. This movie is fucking good, dude. This movie is really good. Now I want to point out, me saying that it's my favorite movie of the year and me saying that it's the best movie of the year are two very different things. I don't think it's the best movie of the year. Dune Part 2 still takes that mantle. But as far as being a movie that I am, like, was so invested in and, like, felt, like, an emotional attachment to the story, like, this movie had me from the jump. Had me from front to fucking back. This goddamn movie did, dude. I want to echo what DJ was saying to start out here, because everything in this movie felt intentional in, like, the best and worst ways that it possibly could. The camera work is outstanding in this movie in how Dev Patel very, very much purposely wanted things to be set up to make us feel a certain way. Like you mentioned, DJ, the close-up shots are there to make you feel very tight and very anxious and very uncomfortable. The shaky cam stuff, which I'm sure we can all agree that shit died a long fucking time ago in action movies, but they brought it back for this and it fit for what this movie was doing, to make us feel that intensity, to make us feel the panic and the franticness of everything that was going on with this character. There's all these scenes that we saw where they just had, like, a very, very nice, like, close-up or wide pan shot that they just sit in for, like, 30 to 45 seconds, and you're just like, wow. like, and nothing is really going on that's, like, that sort of, like, aesthetically pleasing, but it's there to, like, give you this levity, make you feel what is happening in the movie. And directors and cinematographers and videographers that, like, do that in a way that feels intentional is so refreshing, because it feels like a lot of movies don't do that the same way these days, or they just try to give you the thing. Because you guys have heard me rant about this before, I love when movies show you instead of telling you, and this movie is pretty much all show and no tell, and I love that in this movie. They really let the environmental storytelling do it for you, and they let the how things unfold tell you the story, rather than just kind of, like, feeding you a news thing the entire fucking time, which they do have one news thing, but it was more for the socioeconomic side of the story that acted as a sort of, like, C plot in this movie, weirdly enough, which typically I would be weirdly not happy with the amount of subplotting that they had in this movie, but none of those plots got in the way of each other. And I felt like that was, like, a task that, like, with Dev Patel, this being his first, like, movie he's directed, is impressive. It's impressive. Devin said to hydrate. And that's kind of the next thing that I really want to point out here, is that Dev Patel really just, like, saw a vision and, like, capitalized on it, dude. Like, he really said, like, this is in my noggin, and we're gonna make this fucking come to life. Like, no matter what, no bars hold back, we're gonna fucking do this, even if it hurts me, even if we break a camera, even if we pass our budget, we're gonna make this fucking movie happen. And they did all of those things, and they made this fucking movie happen to the best extent that I possibly think that Dev Patel could have in his first movie he's ever directed. Not only the first movie he's ever directed, but the first movie he's ever directed and he's acted in. So like the level of impressiveness that is this movie is just jaw dropping. Like I'm just was the entire movie at the edge of my seat thinking like, holy shit, they're really doing this right now. Because like there's so much like good lore behind this story. Like Garrick was mentioning this weird like level of mysticism that's not actually mysticism, but like because it's sort of like this underlying presence underneath the cultural aspect of what this movie is. It fits so well for this being this like very not generic origin story that we get for this character that is not a superhero, but he feels like one. You know what I mean? Like he's just the most vigilante ass motherfucker that you could possibly think of in a Indian, you know, grounded action movie. And they really pulled it off like extremely well, man. It was thoroughly impressive. The cast in this movie was so good. Everyone fucking nailed it. All their parts that they were playing as was just fucking fantastic. What's his name? Pitbosh, I think was his name. The like little gang crony guy that he is like our first sort of connection.
Alfonso.
Yeah, he was just so good in this movie. Sholto Copley, I haven't seen him in shit in a really long time. The fighting announcer guy.
Oh yeah, the tiger.
Dude, he like holy shit, like everything he's ever in is money. Now he's not in like a very big role in this movie by any means. He's kind of a cameo person, but he is just awesome in everything, and he just ate up his role this entire movie. But I mean honestly though, like this movie shines so much because, as Garrick was stating, Dev Patel being the sort of like main focus, the main seat, the entree of this movie, if you will, is so good. So good. We've always known Dev Patel has been a good actor. We've always fucking known this. We've been screaming it from the fucking rooftops for years now. Watch more Dev Patel stuff. And he really just like said, hey, if you think the acting's good, wait until you see the directing and acting.
Yeah.
This movie really like made me want to see him as fucking James Bond.
Oh my god, I know. Dude, and some people have been fan casting it, but now I need it, dude.
Yeah, man, I need to see that shit.
I think that he does a really good job, just his character generally speaking, with Kid or Bobby. Is what they name him in the restaurant. His character in this is just so interesting to me, and I think that's kind of like what sold me the most on this movie, was the way that they sort of take this what normally on paper would be just a, as we said, a, you know, revenge story, and they found ways, he found ways, the other two writers that were kind of loosely involved found ways to make it feel legit. You know what I mean? And like we've been very comparative with like movies like John Wick, movies like Nobody, things like that. You know, we go into these things. These guys are just total fucking badasses. They're going into it. They're fucking just pummeling dudes. They're also getting their asses whooped. But on like a scale of like, they're getting their ass whooped because they're facing 60 guys at the same time. You know what I mean? If it's 1v1, they're going to fuck you up. Right. And like, and it, they kind of take us to a place that is very like escalated, if you will. You have to suspend some disbelief for John Wick and Nobody to make some fucking sense. This movie, they don't try to up him in any capacity until he has like the third act. And even in the third act, he's not like mowing dudes down. He's still getting his ass beat. We just watch him do it better because he's found himself. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that pacing of things, like giving us the story of like why he's doing what he's doing, and not like not just giving it all to us, but drip feeding it to us until we have the big reveal, right? Having us hate these characters that he very obviously hates, and we just know like, oh no, there's a reason this piece of shit is here, and then we do see some reasons why they're a piece of shit. genius. Like the relationships we meet with the side characters, genius. This fucking movie is just so good. It's just so good. Now, it is not without its imperfections, like we were saying earlier. It does have some pacing stuff that is a little bit questionable, and I really think that that kind of falls into Dev Patel. This is his first directorial movie. It's going to have some pacing issues. Like that's, and even then, it's hardly an issue. Depending on who you ask, one might actually say that it actually felt pretty damn good for all, you know, intents and purposes, because it's not like it's like steeped slow and then the second act gets like over with and then it just fucking boosts off into space. But it has this sort of like woo up and then down and stays down and then woo up and then stays down. And then like it kind of like shifts back and forth a lot. And when it's slow, it feels very slow. Because they're really trying to get you to understand why he's feeling the way he's feeling. And I feel that that is mostly what separates this movie apart from the John Wicks, from the Nobodies, is that they really made us care for this character. And in a way that, like, we didn't really care that much about John Wick in the first movie. We cared about his dog. We cared about him getting revenge for his dog. You know, we cared that, like, yeah, he wants to get out. You know what I'm saying? In Nobody, we cared because, like, yeah, he wants to live a normal fucking life, right? Let him get his daughter's bracelet back. In this movie, it's like, no, we care because we want him to fuck these dudes up.
On the win, dude.
Like, I want you to get that revenge because I want that revenge now. Like, if that was me and my dude, I'm telling you, man. And he just has like had such a good idea of how to make us care about his character, about Kid, about this person that we hardly know anything fucking about, and then really make that feel valuable in this movie, and in turn, this entire movie feels valuable. And then the last thing I want to talk about is the soundtrack. Like DJ mentioned, the soundtrack in this movie, I think, is such a pivotal tool in this movie because, one, it goes off. The soundtrack goes fucking crazy, dude. I think
that might have been the part of the film that if Jordan had any say, it's on that. Because it reminds me a lot of the sound of the use of an effectiveness of the soundtrack of Nope.
Oh, that. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I can see it.
Fair.
I mean, either way, they've got some fucking taste because this soundtrack is this sort of like unbeknownst, like second layer of storytelling in this, where like the soundtrack isn't just sort of like background music to like make us understand, like,
it's another character, dude.
It is. It's like it's also this like this second narrator of like what's going on to like really kind of get us to understand like why this thing is happening or how this thing is happening. And in the cultural influence on the soundtrack being so present but also so subtle at the same time, was just fucking miraculously done, dude. This composer, what was his goddamn name again? Let's see. Jed Kurzel. Kurzel, one of the two. Jed. Jetty Boy.
Oh, Kurzel. I thought that was an I at the end.
Jetty Boy was just a genius in this fucking soundtrack. And I feel like we talk a little bit about some soundtracks here. But when a really good one comes around, you got to really, like, we got to make sure we're giving credit where it's fucking due. Because this soundtrack, man, I'll tell you what, like, it's got something for everybody on this goddamn soundtrack. And, like, hey, I played some of it for a starting season. You can find it on Spotify and just front to back that bitch. There's, like, 30 tracks or some shit like that, man. It's good. It's real good, dude.
32, yeah.
God damn, man. Yeah. What a movie, man. What a movie. I walked out of the theater and I was just like, holy shit. Like, I already want to watch it again, man. Like, this movie. Yeah,
I
so want
to bring other people to watch it with me, dude. Like, I feel like that movie's sick. Dude, the scene, like, oh, speaking of the music, that when he pulls up to, like, for the second time, like, in the second act, towards the end, like, the music isn't, like, high pitch. Like, it's not high octane, dude. It's just fucking guitar strings.
Yeah.
And he's just beating motherfuckers' asses to it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is fucking raw as fuck, dude.
Dude.
Like, it's there's no fucking, you know, EDM, wub-wubs, not a fucking club shit. It's literally just fucking strings, and he's just beating motherfuckers. Yes,
it's
dude.
So like, this is good, sick, man.
This is sick.
I can't, like, and I wonder, too, because, like, Garrick brings up a good point with, like, you know, Jordan Peele probably, if there's anything he had, you know, like, some calls, like, shot calls on, it was probably that. I'd like to think that it was very collaborative and how they did that, because like you can feel so many different influences in the soundtrack for this movie that make it feel so much more impactful. Because like, listen, like all the dope ass parts of this movie were still dope. They were even doper because of the music in the movie. Mm-hmm. Now with that said, I think we've kind of gone into it. We've talked at length now of how good this fucking movie is. God damn, the final encounter, man. The final fight. The third act is so good, dude. Okay.
Before we move on, like, there was, yeah, because yeah, honestly, this movie did some really cool fucking things.
Uh-huh.
And there was a single scene at like the right at the end of the third act where it is riding an elevator, and the elevator opens up to just, dude, the way it was, the lighting with the red back silhouette. I legit, well, it's just like, I think I just came. This was so,
and then the mural was
so fucking raw. It was so dude, literally, like, it was just pitch black, no silhouetting. Dude, opens up like just smooth, and you're just like, pure solid red backlight, dude, and it's lit so perfectly. And then you, like, you've got the Hanuman like war mural on the wall, dude.
And then Dev steps right into the frame,
right where into it, dude.
Hanuman.
Yeah, dude.
I'm telling you, man.
That's something you only catch when you watch movies like us, like you enjoy art like that, like. Once you understand like context, like with everything being so purposeful, you're like, fuck, that's fucking raw as shit, dude.
Yeah, dude.
What a fucking great choice.
Well, actually, choice. Another second detail too, because like a lot of people I've seen talking about this movie have had some complaints about the shaky cam, and because the shaky cam is pretty egregious. It is a little bit egregious.
It's only used when his character is experiencing intense emotions.
Because right.
Used for that effect.
Because I was gonna say, I don't know if you guys noticed, but when the final encounter starts, like after the montage stuff is over, the shaky cam's gone.
The camera locks in, bro.
It's gone, dude. Yeah. Like the entire final encounter is smooth and silky, smooth because butter. He's not panicky anymore, and it's fucking genius. When I got like halfway through the fight, when the folks show up during the final encounter, and you're kind of like, oh, that's so fucking sick, it dawned on me that everything was running smoothly that entire fucking encounter. And
with
I was like,
plan.
Oh fuck,
with the
dude.
Plan, bro. He's like, oh yeah, he's doing the thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's
dude.
Doing it.
Especially
and he feels
when they
about
show
it.
Up, dude, and they like lock eyes, and he was just like, yeah, they do all it, like the nod. They're like, you do your part, I'll do mine, and they're like, oh fuck, they're gonna. No words need to be spoken. Everybody's on the same page,
fucking.
And the page reads, kick ass.
Fucking hand them out, dog. I'm telling you, dude, this movie's fucking genius, man. And with that said, Garrick, should people see this movie right away? And what is your score, sir?
If you are an action fan, if you are a thriller fan, this is an absolute must. Dev Patel deserves all of the praise he is getting. Dude, I have seen ridiculously seniored and tenured directors make garbage films compared to this. This literally takes everything that you love about what makes John Wick fun and puts a fresh take on it that doesn't bog itself down and bury itself into an oversaturated genre of action films. Mm-hmm. It literally like floats above and has a place, and it immediately carved a space for itself. Good for fucking you, Dev Patel. This is an 8.5 for me.
Hell yeah, baby. DJ, should people see this right away? And what is your score?
Dude, this, yes, you should, because like everything Garrick said, if you're a fan of action films, if you're just a fan of films in general, like, just give this a try, because with this being Dev's directorial debut, it's still solid, and it's still, and you can take away a lot of things from this film that are just like captivating. Like, I did not want to leave my seat at all watching this film. And I low key want more, but I don't know how they would, you know, continue this story. I mean, you know,
right.
way it ends, like, you can, but I don't want it. I feel like this could stand alone on its own. Because, absolutely, like, you know, when we talk about John Wick, like, from 1 to 2, 2 just, it's like nonstop. And sometimes I don't want that. I like the subtlety. Yeah, I like the calmness.
The way it ended was like very artistic. You're just like, okay, you're like, yep, yeah, I'm all right with that. You're like, this resolved everything that it needed to in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And left it open for a sequel without being like a gross, like, campy cliffhanger shit that, like, obviously,
you know what I mean?
Right. It doesn't do any of that. It respects that it may be a singular film.
Yeah. It's just the way it is, man. It's so grounded. Like, this is the most grounded, like, action film we've got in a bit. Like,
nobody jumping through windows here.
Yeah. Like, you know, like in the Equal
Action. That was good.
I love that scene. But you know, when you watch Equalizer 3, you might question how old Denzel's moving like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, Jesus Christ.
You know, but with Dev, in this film, you're like, oh, he's just a normal dude. But he's he's going at it. He's taking hits. He's fucking getting hit, dude. He's getting fucking his ass beat on a daily basis. And it's just so good. I think this deserves a 9.
Ooh, I like it, dude. I like it. Well, you know, that makes me very happy. This movie, when we think of movies as an art piece, this is that without being like a festival art piece. You know what I mean? Like, we're like there's movies that are like art, and you're just kind of like, okay, like, you know what I mean? Like, and you watch it and you're kind of like, all right, cool. You know what I mean? Like, that's fine. The last movie that I feel like I was this enthralled by and felt like was art while still without the like pretentiousness, was Everything Everywhere All at Once. And if that doesn't go to show you, right, like, how this movie like plays at this caliber that I don't think people are like fully able to comprehend until they see this movie's playing at a level that a lot of movies don't know how to fucking play at. And it being Dev Patel's first time directing and hitting this kind of note, it's not perfect, but it's pretty fucking good, especially for it being someone's first movie they've directed. And it is just thoroughly impressive. Garrett, go ahead.
Just to kind of piggyback off of like your little thought there, this film will a future filmmaker or aspiring filmmaker will have a poster of this fucking movie on their wall. Mm-hmm. That's how.
Yeah, dude. Someone will wax poetically about this on
this is literally going to be like one of those movies where like it's going to instantly gain cult like classic status. And there's going to be we're going to get like new genres of action film because of this.
Yeah, 100%, dude. And it's going to feel good because this movie offers something that most other action movies don't offer. And that is a authentically well-written, well-thought-out, like, background story to why this shit is happening. You know what I mean? Because it's not just like a revenge story for the sake of being a revenge story. It's like a revenge story with trauma attached to it, with socioeconomic problems attached to it, with socio-governmental problems attached to it, with just general like gang stuff attached to it, family stuff attached to it. Like, there's so many different layers to what this movie offers that is just not just an action movie. And I don't think those things take away from it being an action movie either, which is very important to understand too, because a lot of action movies that do try to do that, they don't really know how to balance it very well. And this movie has found such a good way of balancing, making us give a fuck about the character while also letting us watch them beat people's asses. You know what I'm saying? And that's what the fuck we like around here at 20,000 Films Under the Sea, which is why I'm giving this movie a 9 out of 10, which puts us at about an 8.83, and we always round up. So that gives this movie an official 9 out of 10 from Good Kraken. And I want to be a part of the 2-minute standing ovation that Dev Patel got for this movie at the film festival, because this movie is that fucking good.
This movie rocks, dude.
This fucking movie rules.
Oh my God, man. I cannot wait for all of you at home to get your eyes on this movie. But in the meantime, this has been 20,000 Films Under the Sea, your choice for all the nerdy pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you wanted each and every week. If you liked what you heard, you can head on over to our Discord channel, where you can submit questions and topics to the show, get exclusive content, and soon have early access to episodes before they go live on a podcast and video service near you. But if you've emptied your pockets for the latest and greatest in entertainment, that is cool with us. You can watch us record this show live right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow. You can also support us by going to our YouTube channel, hitting subscribe, or by leaving a review on our podcast channel by searching 20,000 Films Under the Sea, and we'll be right there waiting for you. We have to get going, everybody, but until next time,
Monkey Man!
Monkey Man! Monkey Man! Monkey Man!